I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 491. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. If Paul was a songwriter instead of a tent maker and gospel preacher, he might have written the lyrics to Matthew West's song, Don't Stop Praying. It's a good reminder that is steeped in Scripture, and it caused me to pull out a classic book that I read in high school that actually just changed the game for me. I can't wait to explore both, but first, let's listen.
Don't stop!
I have to be honest, when I started studying for this week's podcast, and I had an idea of where I wanted to go in Scripture, but as always, I hold my plans loosely and I allow the Lord to direct. And what I really wanted to do was study Esther. And I actually did study Esther because there's some praying in it. There's some mountains moved in that story, just like in our lyrics. And also because we just went to Branson, Missouri for a college tour for my daughter, and we snagged some tickets to the Sight and Sound Theater presentation of Esther. Unpaid plug here. It is a must see. Now, you know, it's good when you come out thinking, I need to go read Esther again. I mean, to me, that's the highest compliment I think any presentation can make if it inspires the audience to engage with God's word. Of course, you know, I'm a little biased on that front, but alas, I will have to incorporate my Esther studies another day because I also picked up a book that changed my entire perspective on prayer when I was in high school. When I pulled it off the shelf to flip through it, the impact came rushing back, and I knew I needed to share it with you. Now, this is Taking the Bite of Consulting an Outside Resource, BITE. It's an acronym for Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. These are the exercises that I use to keep my time in God's Word effective and varied. And I always encourage you to read the Bible for yourself first, then take the bite of consulting an outside resource. But sometimes the outside resource is the source of the direction that you need to pick up the text of Scripture. And that's what happened for me this week. The concern, however, about consulting an outside resource first lies in the fact that sometimes we are eager to hear what other people have to say about the Scripture, more eager to hear than what God says through the Scripture to us. And it's a really bad habit to get into. But God did create us to be in community. We were never meant to learn alone. So including the voices of the saints, especially the saints across centuries of faith, can be really enlightening. So here's what you do. Don't skip over the Scripture. My friend Keith Barron said that he found himself reading Christian literature, and when they quoted Scripture, he was so familiar with the text, he would just skip over it and get to the words of the author. Now, no judgment here. I've totally done that too. But I also agree with his conclusion that it was a bad habit. So one way to combat that is to read the text out loud, read the Scripture out loud. And that's a bite, by the way. And we usually take this bite when we're trying to slow down and read larger chunks of Scripture, but it works here too. So slow down and take in the words of God, giving them more honor in your head than the conclusions of the author that you're studying. It's also going to help you discern if their conclusions are biblical, which will come to you, you know, over time as you continue to build a foundation of biblical literacy and knowledge. So what was the outside resource that I picked up this week? Well, it was a classic by R.A. Torrey entitled How to Pray. It was published in the year 1900, and it feels like it could have been written yesterday. Now, here is where Tori begins the journey in Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And I also thought back to another scripture that we studied in 1 Thessalonians. It was back in episode 488. We were studying 1 Thessalonians 5, and it starts out in verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So pray without ceasing, praying at all times. Sounds a lot like don't stop praying to me, right? So let's go and examine our inspiration verse, which is that Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, I'm going to take the bite of making some observations. And one of the observations that you can and should make is to identify repeated words. Repetition of words is something to really keep your eye out for. And did you hear it in this verse? It says, all times, all prayer and supplication, all perseverance, all the saints. That's a lot of alls. And so let's take the bite of looking at this verse in a variety of translations. If you're using a free resource, online resource like BibleHub.com, you can just type in Ephesians 6:18. It's going to list this verse in a whole bunch of translations. If you use Logos Bible software like I do, go to Tools and click on Text Comparison, type in your verse, and then indicate which translations that you want to compare. So I used Logos, the text comparison, and I put ESV, English Standard Version, the New Living Translation, the New International Version, the Common Jewish Bible, the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, and the Amplified. So in Logos, it'll actually tell you what percentage of difference you have between your preferred version. So my preferred version is the English Standard Version. And so the English Standard Version and the Revised Standard Version is the closest. There was only like a 5% difference in words. In fact, every word is the same except ESV says praying and RSV starts out with pray. Okay. So then in those other versions that I listed, there's about a 63 to 68% difference between them and the ESV, and the Amplified is about 45% difference. That's just nerdy, geeky out stuff, but I think it's interesting. So let's start with all times. By looking at the various translations, you can see that some of them, you know, the translation scholars. So you've got these teams of scholars that take the original Greek and Hebrew and translate it into English. And so some of the scholars thought every occasion or all occasions or even in every season, that kind of wording would help us to understand what God means by all times. Okay, so every occasion, all occasions, or in every season. Then we can move on to all prayer and supplication. And the NIV and the CSB says all kinds of prayer and requests. You know, that's what supplication means. It's a request. The Amplified Version says all manner of prayer and entreaty, which made me want to look up the word supplication in the original language. And so that is taking the bite of doing a word study. So in Logos, it's really easy. You just like right click on the word and you can look at Bible study or really just see kind of a fresh definition there. And I see the same thing I've already discovered by studying the various translations. It can mean prayer, plea, petition, request, or entreaty. And that's really the value of studying in various translations because you can do like an informal word study without going to the original language because you realize that these various teams of scholars are choosing these various words to help it make sense to you, and they are all generally in the definition of the original word. So this really fleshes it out a bit, don't you think? So in this case, it is a divine entreaty, which means an earnest or urgent request to God. So there are some other places that this word is used, like in Luke, when the angel told Zechariah his prayer for his son had been heard and his earnest request to God would be fulfilled. His prayer would be fulfilled. So this is his earnest and urgent request. Or in Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple, they met up with a widow who scripture says she worshiped and fasted and prayed to God night and day. So she worshiped and fasted and lifted her earnest and urgent request to God night and day. Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, our heart's desire and prayer to God, or his earnest and urgent request to God, was for the children of Abraham to be saved. So it's not just all prayer that we are to lift to God, but just all prayer and, so right, because it's prayer and supplication, but all prayer and all earnest and urgent requests. And it's with all perseverance that we are to do this, and we're to stay alert. And the New Living Translation indicates that this is a persistence in prayer. The NIV says, always keep on praying. The Common Jewish Bible says, be vigilant and persistent. And the Amplified instructs us to keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. So who are these prayers for? All the saints. We are to be praying for each other. So who are the saints that Paul is referring to? Well, they're Christians. The word for saints are those who are set apart as holy for God's use. So what is Paul emphasizing here with all these alls? He's emphasizing no limits praying. R.A. Torrey, in this book, How to Pray, calls it constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. He asks the question, why is this kind of prayer so needful? You know, when you sing along with Matthew West, don't stop praying, you might ask yourself the question, why not? Why should I not stop praying? And a better question, though, is why does Scripture say I should not stop praying? So the rest of the episode will follow the outline that R.A. Torrey lays out in his first chapter of that book. And so let's jump into that. The first reason why you should not stop praying, why you should be in constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer, is because there is an enemy. The devil. This is actually in the context of our focus verse. So if you hop up to verse 12 in Ephesians chapter 6, you read this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And so it's in the context of this truth and a description of the armor of God that Paul goes on in verse 18 to instruct us to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So a second reason for this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is that prayer is God's appointed way for obtaining things. And the great secret of all lack in our experience and in our life and in our work together is a neglect of prayer. James 4:2 says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. This biblical principle really has shaped my life in ways outside of prayer, too. I went to a secular conference one time where they made the case that if there's something that you want but you never ask for it, you're pretty much guaranteed not to get it, right? So the conference said, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I use it all the time with my kids. They know that. So the main example that I normally use is that in college, I earned a B in my business management class. I totally understood the content. I'd actually taken the class as a freshman and again as a senior. I went to two different schools. I went to Bible college my freshman year. But for whatever reason, I always flinched during my tests and earned myself a B. But if you don't ask, you don't get. And so I approached the professor and I asked for an A. And he graciously gave it to me. Actually, he first said no, but then later said yes. And he didn't have to. I didn't earn it. But he would never have given me that A if I had not asked for it. But this is a biblical principle. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the rest of the context. James 4:3 goes on to say, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So that brings up my next bite. I want you to take each of these reasons and all of these verses that I'm sharing with you and study the context, okay? So that's my challenge to you. All right, so the third reason for this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is that those men whom God set forth as a pattern of what he expected Christians to be, the apostles, they regarded prayer as the most important business of their lives. So in Acts chapter 6, there were community needs that rose to a level of importance that led those 12 disciples of Jesus to choose 7 men to serve. A highly important job, but Acts 6:4 says, you guys go serve, right? And then Acts 6:4 says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It was important to them. It was important enough to say, these needs are important, but we can't stop praying, you know, so you guys can help us out with that. Romans 1:9 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, I mention you. Ephesians 1:15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Colossians 1:9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. So constant, earnest, unceasing prayers. This is the kind of praying that the apostles devoted themselves to. And so we can do the same because they have modeled it for us. They are our example. All right, now you've been waiting for this one, but the next reason for this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is because prayer occupied a very prominent place and played a very important part in the earthly life of our Lord. It's important to Jesus, so it needs to be important to us. Mark 1:35 says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, being Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 6:12 says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Now, when I click on that word pray in Logos, I can choose, I can do a search and then choose the agent of that prayer. Like, what verses show Jesus praying? What verses show Jesus praying? So when I chose Jesus as the agent of that prayer, I found 18 verses that I could explore regarding Jesus praying. So I'm going to put a few more of these verses in the episode guide for you to go ahead and explore on your own. But we're not done talking about Jesus and prayer just yet, because another reason for constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer is that praying is the most important part of the present ministry of Jesus. You see, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34 says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Now, the deepest relationships are formed when you spend time doing the same things. You know, some of the best marriage advice I've had is to find activities that you can do together. And we have fellowship with Christ when we participate in the same activities that are important to him. And intercession is the principal thing that he's doing these days. So this is also a good time to mention that maybe I'm giving you a lot of reasons to agree with Matthew West that we should not stop praying, but that maybe you're not good at it or it's intimidating. You're like, okay, great. You've convinced me I need to pray, but I don't know how. So this is a time to pray and ask God to make you more like Jesus. Specifically, ask him to make you into an intercessor. And an intercessor is just someone who prays for others. And I want you to make a list of 4 or 5 people that you want to commit to pray for, to intercede, to plead to God on their behalf. And you can pray for their needs if you know them. But then I also want you to take the bite of praying scripture. Now, I recommend praying Paul's prayer from Colossians chapter 1. My grandma used to pray it over all of her grandchildren. And it is in the context of an example of Paul's constant prayer. So Colossians 1:9 through 12 says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So here's how this might sound. I'll pray for my husband. Okay, so I will turn that scripture that I just read to you into a prayer as an example of how to pray scripture. So here we go. Father God, I pray for my husband, Ron, asking that he be filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that Ron walks in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you. I pray that he bears fruit in every good work and increases in the knowledge of you. I pray that you strengthen Ron with power according to your glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And I ask you to remind him to give you thanks because of the inheritance he now shares with all the saints through the salvation of Jesus Christ. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. Now, I went ahead and put that sample prayer with blanks in the episode guide for your use. Again, you can get that michellenewsthat.com/491download. Now, I think I know we're almost out of time, or we probably are already out of time, but I want to do one more reason for constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. And that is that prayer is the means that God has appointed for us to receive mercy and obtain grace for help in time of need. And I pray this verse weekly with people who come up to the front. I'm on the prayer team for my church and who come up for prayer after church every day or every Sunday. But Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Common Jewish Bible starts out with therefore. And so it says, therefore, let us confidently approach the throne. And like I was taught by my old pastor, if you see a therefore, you need to seek out what it's there for. Why? Why can we draw near to the throne of grace? Not only can we, but why should we? Because of verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 4:14. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus has conquered and he's in heaven interceding for us. And this Savior who earnestly begs and pleads God on our behalf can sympathize with our weaknesses. Therefore, let us approach God's throne to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Don't stop praying. So what's next? Well, meditate on our focus verse, Ephesians 6:18. Study it in context to guide you. Let it guide you to examine constant and persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer throughout Scripture. And then pick up the episode guide to walk you through these six reasons for constant prayer with verses that you can then explore and meditate on and read in context and do all the things that I teach you in every episode. And then while you're in God's Word, let me know how you're doing. You can email me, michelle@michellenewsthat.com. You can hop on X or Instagram @michellenewsthat, or my public page on Facebook is Michelle L. Neesat, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network, and you can check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. Don't forget to grab your episode guide at michellenewsthat.com/491download. But again, if you're already a subscriber, it's in your inbox. And so with that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed lately, like Simon from Idaho, Lindy from Illinois, Lisa from Texas, Michelle from Texas, Michael from Michigan, Shay from Missouri, Melissa from Indiana, Elsab from South Africa, Wolfgang from Germany, Caroline from North Carolina, Rhea from South Africa, Neil from Washington. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenewsthat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you have not left a review yet, I would really appreciate it. Can you do that today? Just head over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring The Prodigal by Josiah Queen to dive into Scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to michellenewsthat.com/491. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's Word and consider His ways.